possible for you to volunteer to, in case there's no community service tonight, to cover my name being on the list of dishes tonight?
I can't.
Anybody else can do that? Can anybody else volunteer to cover the dishes for me tonight?
Check with Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, should be.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in a chair, probably. I'm able to get out of it like I was last time.
You have a problem?
No, I'm just carrying shit all day.
Oh.
I thought you wanted it on July 1st.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
That's not the issue. I'm sorry.
Romans 4.
Are we ready?
Gary, will you have time to go back and talk to Kiala this morning?
Yeah. Take some time.
The locks that you did, there's still you left out one.
Little Gary did it.
Hey, Gary, little Gary, I get those two confused all the time.
Is there another
door?
There's not anyone who did. If you got any kind of key.
I'll have to disappear. Do you have a credit card?
Yesterday we spent the whole morning talking about this idea that has penetrated Christianity, that I don't even know how to describe it, but it's that somehow we have attained some merit because we're believers. And then we've got something that other people need, and so automatically it puts us in that self-righteous position. And we talked about how Luther, this was the main thing that Luther fought against. And it was described as there's nothing meritorious about going down for the third time and lifting up your hand and somebody pulling you out of the water. There's nothing meritorious in dying. Our only position has to be to help without regard to whatever situations or people or come into our lives. Our position is to lay down the right to ourself for that need and do it joyfully without grumbling. And then you're in the position that Peter talked about always be ready to have an answer for why you can be in joy in spite of what's going on. That's what really evangelism is. It's not trying to sell somebody that you've got something that they need. So, and this is all what Abraham, as pertaining to the faith, to the flesh, has found. And if you found anything else, then you've probably found the wrong thing. You're trying to get somebody else to believe so that you can justify your own unbelief. Everybody understand that? What? What are you smiling at?
Because when you said trying to sell somebody, a lot of times we mean that like in a figurative sense, but TV evangelism literally is trying to sell, for money.
And then verse 2, chapter 4 of Romans. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
That just made me smile. The idea that a created being would walk up before the throne of the creator of everything and be proud of what he's done. It's like, even in the natural, that's ridiculous. More than ridiculous.
But that's the role of those that have on the Babylonish garment. They have to do that. It's not a matter of choice. What? You're doing it again.
Well, the joy thing. You can't, you don't get joyful and then go about doing something. It's, you're joyful and then you do something. It's like, it's not something you generate out of your own self. And you can't read it and say, oh, I'm supposed to be this.
No, the only way you can be joyful is to make no provision for the flesh.
and then joy is there.
Right. It's what you don't do that gives you joy, as opposed to what you do to try to get it.
Yeah.
You do something to try to gain happiness. You don't do things to try to gain joy. That's exactly the opposite. Like, just a small example, we know why Robert came back from Iraq. It was so that he could fix those lights in the coffee machine. But this has to go down at a deep, deep place. This whole idea. Otherwise, you're even in your honest, so-called honest conversations, you're trying to sell him. You're trying to sell somebody. And the minute you try to sell somebody, then you know. I mean, first of all, the people that you're trying to sell it to, you know, I don't know what's happened to the discernment of believers, but you know, it just blows my mind that anybody could follow these people that are trying to sell you something and turn it. This is how you get this. This is how you do that.
The society people want to be sold. You know, it's how we operate in this culture. Selling and buying.
Well, that's, I mean, it's, it can't be too, it can't be too obvious or too true, because the general public looks at it and thinks it's idiotic. The pagans have a far better discernment or BS detector than the Christians do.
They know a shyster when they smell one.
What, their mega church is full of buyers.
What was the purpose in Christ saying that, come to me, all of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest?
That's what it says.
I mean,
come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But you're tired, totally tired of playing the game. You're tired of working it.
Is it like a soft sell?
Well, I mean, it is. It's a something that people in that condition desire. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to rest. I want to be at peace.
It's kind of like the inscription on the Statue of Liberty, which is saying, give me your outcasts, give me your refuse, not give me your successful and your happy and your healthy and your wealthy.
I think we ought to, the door should write a new inscription for the current thinking of what's going
on. Yeah, it's completely turned on its head.
Go to Romans 14 a minute. I want to show you something. I think. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy food, or what you doing that thinks unclean, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not the one I was thinking of, but it's make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. That's a biggie. How often today are we making provision for our flesh? Right now.
So you put him on by putting you off. It's the reverse.
Well, anyway. The next verse in Romans 4 is sort of takes this and extends it beyond belief.
Can I say something? This idea of selling. And like Kevin said, it was like when Paul spoke and gave these great dissertations with Stephen or something, that was like selling. It was like extolling.
What do you get? Well, give me an example.
Well, where is it? Acts, I think it is. He's gave the greatest sermon ever. There's a distinction here between selling and speaking the truth. The truth is pretty compelling as a statement. I mean, when you speak, you're not selling, but you're pretty compelling. And it's... I don't know. I think we're going over too quickly.
Well, all I want you to do is give me an example of where Paul was selling.
When he was gave his speech at
Mars Hill.
Mars Hill. Yeah,
that's an example of selling.
It certainly wasn't selling. He's called their gods that they were worshiping ignorant.
Basically, inviting them to kill him. He wasn't saying, "Here's a wonderful thing. Come." Get it, and it will make your life wonderful. I mean, what does selling mean?
I guess that's the question, really. What is selling?
Well, selling is trying to gain something from your words.
Yeah. Where's the parable of the pearl of great price? It says it'll cost you everything.
Right.
It says the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It doesn't say the preaching of the cross is selling.
But
there's
again,
no benefit to preaching the cross.
There's no benefit in it. You're not going to get many followers.
You're going to get more heartache with any followers
to come. selling by definition is a Canaanite transaction. It's a Canaanite.
Remember that the promised land is called the land of Canaan. And the Canaanites, the land of...
I got to wait a little cycle so I can shut it down.
The land of Canaan, the word means the land of buying and selling, or the land of merchants. And so the act of selling or buying is endemic to the inhabitants of the land, which is you.
Yeah.
When I think of the great speeches of Paul or Peter, I don't think of him ever trying to sell anybody anything.
They were doing something. They were just speaking.
They're speaking truth.
The truth.
Speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
Now, last night, a person came over and said that they wanted to kill them. They were going to kill themselves, but they wanted to come and yell at me first.
Seems natural.
What?
Seems natural.
Or kill themselves by yelling at you.
Can you guess what I said?
Yeah,
go ahead. This has to come at you. You have to see this at a really deep level. Otherwise, by your nature, you will try to talk somebody into something.
My grandfather was described as a guy who could sell refrigerators to Eskimos. He was a salesman, spent his whole life being a salesman. And I think I would expand the selling, not just the transaction selling, is creating a need in someone who didn't perceive that need before you came there to create it in them. You know, and I think, and I perceive that as being what's wrong with selling Christianity. No one really wants it until they figure out for themselves that they need it.
Yeah, but again, really look at all of the words of John the Baptist. And there are not many that were recorded. But the essence is, the axe is now laid to the root of the tree. Now, you generation of vipers, you sons of the snake, the axe is now laid to the root of the tree. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that's the proof that what Paul was doing wasn't selling, because he wasn't trying to create a need in someone else.
Look at Jesus. In his final day, on the 10th day of Nisan, or whatever, however you pronounce it, he's walking into Jerusalem, or coming into Jerusalem, on the colt of an ass. And the people are throwing their clothes and waving the palm branches and anything, and singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." 4 days later, every single one of those people that were yelling, "Hallelujah, praise you, the Most High, Son of the Most High," et cetera, yelled, "Crucify him," or were silent. Every single one. That's pretty heavy.
Evidently, he unsold them.
And there weren't any of them getting anything they thought that he was going to provide.
Let's go to Isaiah 53. We've got to get this straight.
I was thinking even what Kevin brought up about come unto me, you're heavy laden. That's the only time you hear his voice.
Starting in Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations or many people, and the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who then hath believed our report? And to whom is this arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. And that the word men includes you, all of us. Acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now that is your position, unless you've come to the total end of your own self-seeking. If there is any self-seeking left, i.e., if you have not seen the futility and emptiness of all human effort, but especially your own, then you can't, this is always true. He is despised and rejected of all men. This has to hit you. Otherwise, I promise you, the next time you talk to somebody, you'll be subtly trying to talk them into.
Yeah, that's like we talk about evangelism. Try to turn them away rather than draw them in.
Well, it's what I'm concerned with is how we as a people talk to people. I mean, it would be easy to have hundreds or thousands of followers. That's no trick. As I've told you so often, it's still a shock to me that anyone, that even one person listens to this.
It's like adding a little bit of water to the wine for the purposes of commerce.
Well, yeah, and you do it without knowing you're doing it, unless you've seen the emptiness of human effort. As long as you think there's something left for you to do, then you will automatically, by your nature, in the way you speak of the mystery, you'll be trying to sell it to somebody. Whether you're talking to the stranger or trying to justify yourself in some activity, or to your families. And when you see that you do this, my God, it's got to be a stench when you see yourself trying to sell somebody. And the reason you're trying to sell is because you don't really believe. And you think that you have something invested in the outcome. Well, that's just like breathing in and breathing out. If you are doing whatever you're doing to anything else other than the Lord, then you will have an investment in the outcome. And once you have an investment in the outcome, then the thing that you're doing has become the idol that we supposedly are in the process of destroying. If you have any investment in the outcome of any transaction, then what you're doing in thought and word and in deed, you're not doing it heartily as unto God. You're doing it as unto the thing. And it's the reason you're doing that is because you're starving to death. And you're even going so far as they did in Lamentations. You're eating the garments, because the garments are a parable for what you do. So the garment, you're eating the garments as your food because you're so starved. And you have an investment in all these things. Doesn't matter how important you think it is, you have an investment in it, and you've ranked your life. You have a ranking of this is more important than this, and this is more important than that, and this, what I'm doing over here, is really big, and I've got to do, and this, and it's more, and pretty soon you're just a passel of idols. They're really stupid idols. Most of them are wood, hay, and stubble, but you're still worshiping. Does that communicate? What, Gary, you're doing it again?
Well, I caught myself doing this, and I was like, and I sit here and I'm like, well, you're doing it too.
I'm not doing that. I'm doing this.
It's rocking.
I started doing that too, but I'm doing it because of the effect that Smokey has on me. When he comes in here and starts agreeing out loud, I want to do that too, but I feel like a fool doing it. I was raised as a white kid.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm starting to shake my head yes, because what I want to do is say out loud yes.
Why don't you say amen? That's what amen means. Huh?
I just feel stupid doing it.
Body language,
amen. Not there yet.
Read my head.
Again. Does anybody know, can anybody guess how furious it makes me for someone to say I'm not there yet?
Get as furious as you want, Jack.
What you do when you say I'm not there yet is you're giving time credence instead of repenting.
I'm saying what is.
No, you're
still censoring myself.
Well, can you say, Father, forgive me?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can feel changes taking place. The fact is that this morning I'm sitting here going like this. And I want to say amen.
Say it. Just right, say it. Amen. You just said it.
It just feels weird.
This thing about selling, what?
I had a great time thing I didn't share with you last week.
Is this the time? Is this the right thing?
This
right.
Share with us, Gary.
I think I was here.
You had a great what?
Time, a great time thing?
It was. Harry was talking about something the other night.
Don't blame it on me, whatever.
It wasn't your fault. It was just the words about God's forgiveness when you were talking about your experience coming back from Jersey. And where he said God's forgiveness, he could see it second by second, and that just whap hit me. There's no second by second. There's an endless, continuous flow that never slows down. Even there's no. That's the time taken out, and that sentence just expanded into everything else we heard talked about time. You know, suddenly a lot of it just dropped in.
Good.
It was so cool, the flow. It's not second by second, day by day.
I want you to all go get a bumper sticker that says, I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. You self-righteous idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful thing to say.
My other car is a fiery chariot.
What?
My other car is a heavenly chariot.
I'm fiery better.
I'm not forgiven, but my kids are.
You don't have any kids.
No. There's one that says, my kids go to so-and-so school.
Thank God you don't have any kids.
My child's an honor student at Trinity Homeschool.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't play piano, but I know.
This is,
I'm an honor student at Trinity Bible Study.
Who, you are?
When did you graduate?
God.
We're talking about this.
And I'm looking out here at this giant sunflower, which came from somewhere. I don't know what it was like. That did not used to be there.
Yeah. Right.
And it, especially in this weather we're having, we don't even have to do anything hardly to make these things happen. And that's the secret, you know. It's like you don't have to do anything. About anything. God is doing it all.
There you go.
Does it form a halo around all his head?
No.
No, but the thing that has to be done is that this you have to see that there's no distinction between, there's no thing you do and then there's a thing you believe. It's got to be the same always. And if you find yourself, you know, thinking differently or going through different machinations because you've got this important thing to do, then your only response is, Father, forgive me. Because you have a form of godliness, but don't believe in his power, in his efficacy, in his ability. And that then translates to everything. Pretty soon you'll find yourself just ranking everything. But it all has to do with this thing about, it starts out with the belief system that you've got something special. And somebody else needs what you've got. Amen?
I was telling Kevin that I was sitting in a movie theater up there in New Jersey watching Evan Almighty, and there's this scene where God wants him to build an ark, and he can't do it, and all this stuff's going on, but he needs something, and boom, it's just, there it is outside of his house, just sitting there, and there's a note attached to it from God. It just says, ask and you shall receive, signed G. And it hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw that, because
I mean, it's just so clear. If you need a hammer to do what God wants you to do, you will get a hammer. And if you don't, you won't. And all you got to do is be willing.
Yeah, the opposite of that is we are a faith ministry, so we need your funds.
Here's our idea, and now we need you to give us what we need to make our idea work.
Yeah.
No. But if it's what God wants you to do and you need a shovel, there'll be a shovel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our very existence proves that a thousand times.
If you got a magazine, you can't put the next issue out, you need somebody to step forward, they will. Otherwise, God doesn't need the magazine.
Anyhow, we're spending a lot of time on this, but it's because it's so incredibly important on this, what hath Abraham found pertaining to the flesh. Amen? Take it, big guy. You know what I just remembered? Gary?
Yeah.
I